With a news update on 99.7 1450 WHTC, I'm Gary Stevens. The dismissal of John Gibbs 5 weeks ago wasn't to be the final word on this story. That is what the Byron Center man's attorney said when his client was relieved of his duties as Ottawa County Administrator on February 29th after disagreements with the county board over several issues, along with allegations of improper conduct towards board members and staffers. A threatened lawsuit came to pass yesterday as Gibbs filed federal litigation against the county board in general and board chairman Joe Moss in particular, claiming that the Hudsonville Republican, quote, abandoned rational governance and maliciously published on his own Facebook page a litany of provably false statements about the plaintiff that lacked factual support, end quote, and that Moss, quote, knew that the defamatory statements were false, end quote. In the lawsuit, Gibbs is asking that his dismissal be considered without cause and that terms in his contract pertaining to such a removal be upheld, including a 90-day notice, 9 months' pay, and benefits. Gibbs had been the chief operating officer for Ottawa County since January of 2023, and his contract was slated to run through 2025. The case has been assigned to Judge Jane Beckering at the U.S. District Court in Grand Rapids, with no date scheduled for any hearings on the matter immediately disclosed. Moss and the county board did not make any initial statements upon the filing of the lawsuit. A 17-year-old man from Holland's Northside is in the Ottawa County Juvenile Detention Center after a Friday arrest stemming from an incident in the early morning hours that day involving a 14-year-old girl. Around 1 a.m., deputies were dispatched to the Leisure Estates mobile home community off of Butternut Drive on a report of a robbery. They found the victim apparently unharmed, and she told them that she was outside shooting a video for a social media app when the man, described as a light-skinned black male with a thin build, dreadlocks, and red neck tattoo, flashed a firearm and took an undisclosed amount of cash from her. Wearing a black jacket, black jeans, and a black face mask, the suspect fled on foot, and initial attempts to track him down through a sheriff's department's canine unit were unsuccessful. Yesterday, Detective Captain Jake Sparks said in a department statement that investigators were able to identify and locate the suspect that same Friday. About 2:45 p.m., the man was taken into custody without incident. He was arraigned on armed robbery charges, and due to relatively new protocols that place 17-year-olds as juveniles, his name will not be disclosed. Sparks said that the victim was apparently not alone at the time of the incident, as four juvenile friends that were not mentioned in the initial report were with her. None of them were harmed, and all five have been reunited with their family members. Thousands of people of all ages were wowed by the solar eclipse in West Michigan yesterday afternoon. Calvin University Dean of Students John Whitty thought that they were prepared.
We ordered 1,000 glasses thinking, yeah, that's going to cover it. Didn't cover it at all. We ran out. We have tons of cookies. We had eclipse gum. We had moon pies. You know, anything to just get people out and have a little fun this afternoon.
Students at Forest Hills Public Schools Pine Ridge Elementary School near Grand Rapids gathered in small groups with teachers to watch as the moon passed in front of the sun. The eclipse in West Michigan was between 92 and 96% totality and happened just after 3 p.m. By the way, Google Trends showed searches for "Why do my eyes hurt?" and "Eyes hurt" spiked during yesterday's solar eclipse. The state's average gas price is down 7 cents a gallon the past week. As of this morning, AAA Michigan says the mean is now at 353, which is down 4 cents in the past month and 9 pennies lower than a year ago at this time. The most expensive gas is in Marquette at 364. The most affordable, Traverse City at 343. Grand Rapids stands at 347. The reduction comes despite an uptick in consumer demand for fuel, according to the Auto Club's Adrian Woodland.
Definitely the eclipse is a factor because folks are definitely traveling to areas where they can get a total view of it.
Right.
As well as some folks are still in spring break. We're still kind of in that window of folks still traveling for spring break. So that could be one of the reasons demand is up. Hopefully if we can get supply up, then our prices hopefully will stabilize if we get more supply.
Along the lakeshore, Ottawa County's average of 340 is a nickel and a dime lower than Allegan County's level of 355. It is one thing to address a need after it surfaces, but another to address a need before it surfaces, such as the goal of a new series of proactive grants by the Community Foundation of the Holland Zeeland area. Last week, the foundation distributed $145,000 to three organizations that are offering targeted out-of-school time programs aimed at helping students impacted by a growing educational opportunity gap. Such a gap was spotted by the CFHZ, according to its president and CEO, Patrick Sisler, through several conversations with local educational leaders.
The first is the far-reaching impact, really implications of the pandemic. And the second is the need to implement academic intervention programs to help close an opportunity gap that worsened during the pandemic.
As a result, Zeeland Public Schools is getting $60,000 over a two-year period for its summer learning program, targeting at-risk third-grade students and more. Another $60,000 is going to Holland Public Schools over that same time frame to help start an after-school endeavors program that supports K-12 students at risk of learning loss in reading, writing, and mathematics. And $25,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Holland for its education programs available for all of its members.
Our most recent round of grants was to support organizations that are leveraging out-of-school time to mitigate the education opportunity gap.
Last October, the foundation distributed $130,000 in proactive grants to three nonprofits aimed at reducing the number of youngsters growing up with significant instability in home environments, along with supporting those in such situations. The next round of such grants, aimed at increasing the consistency of healthy parent or other caring adult relationships in children's lives, has a May 13th deadline for nonprofits to submit applications. A 58-year-old man who recently was paroled from prison is back behind bars and charged with armed robbery. Timothy Heron was released from a prison last summer for a 2008 criminal sexual conduct conviction in Kent County. And he's now accused of entering a Fifth Third Bank branch on Michael Avenue at 28th Street on April 2nd and implying he had a weapon. He left the bank with an undisclosed amount of cash, discarded the clothing nearby, and headed to a nearby motel before he was apprehended. Michigan State Police are reminding residents to never touch or pick up an item that could be explosive or hazardous. The reminder comes after a veteran reportedly brought a grenade he wanted to dispose of to an MSP post over the weekend. Police say that if you find an item that could be explosive that you want to dispose of, call 911, but don't move it, don't touch it. Officials say they will come to the scene to determine the best course of action. Today is the sentencing day in Pontiac for James and Jennifer Crumley, the parents of the Oxford High School shooter. Both were convicted in separate trials on four counts of involuntary manslaughter for the November 30th, 2021 shooting deaths of four students, and they will be sentenced together. Neil Rockend is a suburban Detroit area defense attorney, and he was asked if the couple would make any statements prior to sentencing.
A lot of judges want to hear. Remember, you're convicted now. They want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear remorse and they want to hear contrition. They want to see you apologize.
The couple faces a sentence of 15 years in prison, and Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald is recommending at least 10 years for each.
Jennifer Crumley is hamstrung by her own words that she uttered on the witness stand. And it's clear that the jury rejected her testimony.
Meanwhile, the attorney for James Crumley, Marielle Lehman, is asking Circuit Court Judge Cheryl Matthews for leniency for her client, saying that her client should be sentenced to time served or up to 43 months in prison with credit for time served. Ethan Crumley pled guilty to all charges and is serving life in prison without parole. James and Jennifer Crumley will be sentenced today after being convicted of four charges of involuntary manslaughter. The parents of the Oxford High School shooter, Ethan Crumley, were convicted of four charges of involuntary manslaughter for allegedly turning a blind eye to the problems Ethan was facing before the shooting on November 30th, 2021. They face a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison, and the Oakland County Prosecutor's Office is recommending at least 10 years for each. Ethan Crumley pled guilty to all charges and is serving life in prison without parole. The cases have brought a renewed light to the issue of school safety, with the State House Education Committee taking up five bills last month in a 12-bill legislative package aimed at reforming classroom security. First-term Republican Representative Nancy DeBoer of Holland sponsored some of the legislation.
Yes, it seems like we're getting some traction. Things are moving somewhat in in getting some of those bills up on the board, which I think is so important that we figure out how we can help these kids and how we can find them and get them on a better path before we have a problem. And if we do have a problem, that we can handle it as efficiently and as safely as possible.
Supporters hope to have the entire package on Governor Whitmer's desk before the current legislative session ends in December. Governor Whitmer is busy less than a week before everyone's income taxes are due, reminding Michiganders of some tax breaks. She spoke in Utica yesterday with State Representative Nate Shannon to remind people that the retirement tax has been repealed and the working family tax credit has been increased.
You know, we got $1 billion of tax relief for Michiganders, for seniors and for working people. And that's why we want to remind people, check it out. When you are filling out your taxes, make sure you question whether or not you're eligible for these two opportunities.
Whitmer says that tax credit allows 464,000 households in the state to get over $3,000 back. However, Republicans such as Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt of Lawton says that the future doesn't look as bright for those seeking tax breaks from Lansing.
It's unfortunate the governor submitted a budget that relies on a 1,200% garbage tax, increase in the garbage tax, and also relies on a $700 million income tax increase that went into effect January 1st of this year.
A Grand Rapids barber is providing free haircuts to Grand Valley State University minority students 2 days a week. Cecil Jackson owns the Executive Cut in Grand Rapids and has partnered with the university to bring a mobile barber shop to the main Allendale campus every Monday and Tuesday.
It's a blessing just to hear some of their stories, hear some of their passions, you know what I mean, some of the career paths they've taken.
And he says it was one of his long-term plans because he knows there are students from other cities and states that might not know where to get a haircut in West Michigan and might not find someone who knows how to cut hair for minorities. Students who get the free cut are encouraged to attend a GVSU Career Center event or engage with the Office of Multicultural Affairs or African and African American Studies. Joey Bart, Connor Joe, and Jared Triolo each drove in two runs as the Pirates stopped the visiting Detroit Tigers last night 7-4. The series at PNC Park in Pittsburgh concludes this afternoon with coverage from Dan Dickerson and Bobby Scales at 12:10 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s two-run homer in the eighth inning powered the Padres past the visiting Chicago Cubs last night 9-8. The series at Petco Park in San Diego continues this evening. Tristan McKenzie and four relievers teamed on a four-hit, six-strikeout shutout as the Guardians whitewashed the visiting Chicago White Sox last night 4-0. The series at Progressive Field in Cleveland continues this evening. The Red Wings are home to the Washington Capitals at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit tonight with coverage from Ken Cal and Paul Woods at 6:45 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC. NBA play this evening finds the Detroit Pistons playing the Sixers in Philadelphia and the Bulls entertaining the New York Knicks at the United Center in Chicago. The West Michigan Whitecaps have their home opener tonight, welcoming the Quad Cities River Bandits to LMCU Ballpark in Comstock Park for the start of a six-game week-long series. Get the latest news anytime at WHTC.com.